Today is Thursday, January 11th, 2018. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Va'era.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have your attention, please. We are honored to have Rabbi Soloveitchik here with us this evening for a shir. And we say welcome to everybody who has come to gather to learn Torah. The pleasure of sponsoring the shir is that of the Young Israel of Northbrook, sponsoring tonight's food class. And we'll have a marav of
3 minutes.
Don't time us. But 3 minutes after Rabbi Soloveitchik finishes, and. And we need everyone to please join us for a minyan.
Okay. This week's Sedra is Parshas Va'era. I'm going to start off with something that I've mentioned in the past, but I'm going to go more into it than I have. Now, Torah tells us, I want to mention also the my son, first of all, I just want to express condolences to Dr. Oberlander on the passing of his wife. She was somebody that's going to be missed. She participated in the shir here from time to time, and we share his loss.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. So, but the. Years ago, my son Shmuel Yosef, who passed away, his yahrzeit is in about 3 weeks, whatever. Anyway, so when he got into the hospital, so one of the psychologists in the hospital was very nice to him, and she used to learn with him Chumash. And my suggestion was not to start with Chumash Bereishis, because I thought there would be things that were too complicated for him to study at that point. And I suggested at that time, that it, because he was sick and everything, Chumash Shemos. Anyway, this pasuk was the beginning of Era. So the Torah says that God said to Avram, to Moshe, Va'era el Avram el Yitzhak el Yaakov bekel Shakai. I appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, but my name, Yudke Vavke, lo nodati lahem. I didn't make known to them. What is the Torah telling us? What was the message that God was giving to Moshe? And if someone just reads the psukim, it seems like there is no simple message. And that actually presented a dilemma for me. How was I to explain? So Rashi gives an interesting explanation. Rashi says the name Kel Shakai denotes commitment, but you won't see the fulfillment of the commitment. So God spoke to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and gave them commitments, but they knew that they would not see the fulfillments of those commitments. And to Moshe, he spoke with the name Yudke Vavke, which Rashi says means to see the fulfillment, the commitments, and seeing the fulfillments of the commitments. And the way Rashi says, and you complain. They didn't complain. And you complain. Now, the question is that so, okay, Rashi explanation. But I was intrigued because, in a sense, you have to rely on what Rashi says to even have some understanding of the pasuk. Because without Rashi, it just doesn't seem to have any meaning. The way Rashi explains it, Moshe complained to God, and he said to God, he said to God, why is it from the time I came to Paro, the situation with the Jews became worse? V'hatzil lo hitzalta samecha, and you did not save your nation. And then when God says to Moshe, first God says to Moshe, Ata tira, you'll see what I will do with Paro, and Paro will send them out of Egypt with a strong hand. And then it's the end of the Sedra, it's the end of the Parsha in the Torah. There is space in the Torah. And then again, God speaks to Moshe, and God says to Moshe, to the Yavos, I came with the name Kel Shakai, and to you I come with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why are you complaining? They didn't complain. So, first of all, it's somewhat... Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll get back to that. I don't want to go too late. But the question, it's not the simple explanation of the pasuk. So I was intrigued. So I at that time, I had to be in a library anyway, and I decided I'm going to look to see what the secularists who are not, explain the Chumash according to Rashi, how they explain it. And lo and behold, they all explained it on the basis of Rashi. They all explained it on the basis of Rashi. None of them could think of a pshat. So first thing I want to do is try to explain Rashi's explanation. But the understanding, I would have had trouble explaining this to my son at that time. And I was trying to think of a simple explanation. That's the reason I was intrigued, because, you know, he was very sick. He was lying in bed in the hospital. And it would have been very difficult to explain this to him, this explanation in the words of the pasuk. So I was searching for another explanation. I was not successful. There are those that offer a little different explanation, but more or less it's like Rashi. So I was searching for another explanation that could fit into the simple words of the Torah to make it easy for my son to understand this pasuk. But first I want to explain how Rashi explained it. So now the question is, the name Shakai, what does it mean, Shakai? The name Shakai. I'm switching. I use a kuf instead of a dalet because I don't want to say the name. So of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, Kel Shakai? So there are a number of explanations. The most popular explanation is Mi Sha'amar Lo'olam Dai. In other words, at a certain point in creation, God said, "This is the end of creation." This is the end of creation. Now, in a sense, the world goes on its natural course. Natural course doesn't chas v'shalom mean that God isn't running the world. But there is a natural course that God uses in running the world. So, and it's interesting, the name Kel Shakai is used, it's reused in regard to Eretz Yisrael, and also, even more than that, it's used whenever the Torah gives, whenever the Avos give a bracha, a blessing of Piriyav Arivya, of future generations. So the name Kel Shakai is also used. So what I think is, so the simple, if Rashi understood Kel Shakai, as Mi Sha'amar Lolam Dai, the one who told the world enough, in other words, creation comes to the finished, and now is nature, now we can understand how birth is part of the nature process. So now, the way it is, in other words, we speak of past, present, and future, and I've mentioned this explanation in the past, that we speak of past, present, and future. But avar hove v'asit, but there is a separation. In nature, there is a separation between past, present, and future. However, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudke Vavke, according to Kabbalah, and I have an explanation why it's that way, but Yudke Vavke means Hayahove V'yiyye, God was, God is, and God will be. But it's not that God was in the past, God is in the present, and God will be in the future. But by God, past, present, and future are all one. There is no separation. There is no separation between past, present, and future. So in a sense, I think the simple explanation, but nature, there is a separation between past, present, and future. So God says to Moshe, to the Avos, I came with the name Kel Shakai. Shakai represents nature, meaning the normal course of events. When it comes to nature, there is a separation between past, present, and future. So there is a separation between the past of the commitment and the present and future of the fulfillment. So this is how the name Kel Shakai represents the idea that the commitment without seeing the fulfillment. There is a separation, a mechitza, that separates the past of the commitment with the fulfillment of the future. However, in Yudke Vavke, which according to Kabbalah means Ha Yehovah V'yiyah, God was, God is, and God will be. It's all in one word. All in one word. There's no separation. So that means the commitment and the fulfillment is all one. So that represents getting a commitment and being able to see the fulfillment of that commitment. Now, so this is how I explained it according to Rashi. But then, and it's interesting, so the name Kel Shakai is used, in regard to Eretz Yisrael, and it's used in regard to blessings of future generations. And the question is, well, blessings of the future generations we understand. But in regard to Eretz Yisrael, why is it that Kel Shakai is used in regard to Eretz Yisrael? By the way, what I'm thinking is, it's based on something that the Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Eisenbach said today was Rabbi Eisenbach was the Baal HaTanya's yahrzeit. He wanted to use that as a reason not to say Tachanun. Yeah. To him, any day we don't say Tachanun, it's a holiday. So, but in any case, but he said to me that I should say something for the Baal HaTanya. I did not come planned saying it, but as I was talking, I was thinking of something. So the Baal HaTanya discusses what was it, the Meraglim, the spies. Why they, after all, the spies were they were leaders of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says they were, even when they left, they were tzaddikim. And in a short period of time, they come back and they lead a rebellion. What was it that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they changed their attitude. So the Baal Tanya says something very interesting. It's really what the Baal Tanya says is expressive of the Slabodka, even though he was long before Slabodka, Slabodka attitude in Mussar, my father's uncle, the Brisker Rav, would say, he says, what's the difference between the way when he says something and when the Slabodka Bali Musa says something, what's the difference? He says, when we talk about Esav, he says the Slabodka Bali Musa tried to turn Esav into as big of a tzaddik as possible. He says, and I try to turn him into as big of a Russia as possible. You know, it's because we're always to see the good in everybody. So, but that's what he said. Rabbi Berger was a Talmud of Rav Huttner, who was a student of the Slabodka approach. Okay, anyway. Or I was one summer attending a shiur in Yeshiva University. It wasn't my father's shiur. It was Rabbi Scheinberg, and I forgot the brother of Rabbi Pinchas, Shmuel Scheinberg. So he once said, I remember telling it over to my father, he said, if Esav would be here today, we would stand on line to get his brachas. That I heard from him.
So, it was a miracle.
That I know. Okay, so, but in any case, so the Baal Tanya says that what was it? In other words, in the Midbar, in the desert, the Jewish people received man every morning. Everything was miraculous. Everything was out of the ordinary. There were miracles, one miracle after another. They had a cloud before them, a fire that went before them. They had Kriyas Yamsuf. Everything was miraculous. Day to day, there were miracles. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they knew that situation is a temporary situation. In other words, they felt that unless there are miracles, they wouldn't be able to feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there are open miracles, everybody says, oh, you see God's hand. But when the sun shines, the rain comes down. So then we don't see, man is not disposed to see God's hand. And they realize that once they get to Eretz Yisrael, each person is going to be working on his field. The man isn't going to be coming down from heaven. You can't establish a nation based on open miracles. For the duration of their traveling through the desert, they could have these open miracles. So in a certain sense, for the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael represents Teva, the normal situation. The normal situation. So that's why could be Kel Shakai is used. Kel Shakai is used. There are those that just can't see the hand of God in the day-to-day situation. In Eretz Yisrael, we have to see the Jewish people. It's not going to be the miracles of the Midbar anymore. So that could be.
Prince of the Meraglim rejected it?
That's right. That's what he said. They give a spiritual reason. Spiritual reason. And it's interesting. Sometimes people could be motivated by spirituality, and as a result of the spirituality, rebel against God. In other words, spiritual is one thing, but it should not be. Person could use spirituality as a means of rebelling against God. So that's how we could perhaps understand it with what the Baal HaTanya says. All right. However, there is another explanation. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and they say the word, and Ibn Ezra says something similar. Mishadeid marchei hateva. Mishadeid marchei hateva means he breaks nature. The opposite of the expression Misha Omar lo olam tai. It's the opposite of it. So the question is, how is it here? Now, I think there is a difference between the. Now, as far as there's a difference between being above nature and breaking nature. In other words, when it comes, let's say, in terms of Piriya Verivya, what is Piriya Verivya? The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim.
Reproduction.
No, but Rambam Mor Nevuchim says, there's a difference between the human world and the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, there is no hashgacha pratis. This, by the way, the Baal Tanya disagreed with. There is no hashgacha pratis on an, I'll explain it. On an individual, but when it comes to the, there is hashgacha pratis on the individual, but when it comes to the animal kingdom, there's no hashgacha pratis on a particular animal. There is hashgacha pratis on the groups of animals. All the lions, there's hashgacha pratis on lions. In other words, why a particular lion showed up here, that was not manipulated. It was allowed by God, but it was not manipulated by God. But everything that happens in terms of the human being, God plays a much greater role. That's hashgacha pratis. Hashgacha pratis means supervision. You know, we talk about hashgacha on food to make sure it's kosher. So there is supervision, pratis of the individual. This, by the way, was one of the big arguments between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. The Baal Shem Tov felt that there was hashgacha pratis on every animal, every piece of grass. Where the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says no, it's only on the types of animals, the family, the kingdom, so to say. There's hashgacha pratis, but why a particular lion is in this place? That's just coincidental that it was this lion. But when it comes to the human being, there's hashgacha pratis. And the question is, why is it that way? And I think the reason it is that way, because every human being is created with a, according to Mekubalim, and this the Rambam disagrees, according to the Mekubalim, every human being is created with a chelek elokai mimal, is created in a sense with a certain godliness, part of God himself. It hovers over him. So the hashgacha pratis, in a sense, the godliness that's over him watches over him. So that's why it's in regard to Piriya Verivya, because the mitzvah Piriya Verivya, the brachas of Piriya Verivya to the human being, man is created with a certain sense of godliness, and that sense of godliness watches over him on an individual level. Animals don't have hashgacha pratis. So, but it's the bracha Piriya Verivya. Why, in other words, the avos, the patriarchs were told. The patriarchs were told that their descendants are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. They wouldn't inherit it themselves, but their descendants would inherit Eretz Yisrael. So I appear to them with the name Kel Shakai. What was my commitment to them? My commitment to them was that they will have children that eventually will go to Eretz Yisrael, will go to the land of Israel. So that's why the name Kel Shakai is used in regard to the commitment given to the Yavos. It's interesting. The Brisker Rav says, we say in the Haggadah, I've mentioned it before. Brisker Rav says the pasuk in Yeshua, we say it in the Haggadah, Ula'esav nasati, Yeshua is quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ula'esav nasati es harseir l'reshes oso, v'yakov uvanov yardu mitzrayma. Esav, I gave him Mount Seir as an inheritance. Yaakov and his children, they go down to Egypt. What's the idea? Esav starts his country right away. Yaakov, Jacob, he doesn't start his country right away. He doesn't start his nation right away. He goes into slavery. And only hundreds of years later is his descendants. But why is it that Yaakov had it that way? Yaakov had it that way because the Jewish people had to be a perpetual people. A nation that did not undergo hardship in its very foundation as a nation cannot survive hardship. And because of that, the Jewish people had to, in their foundation, they couldn't start their nation right away. They had to be slaves. They had to be foreigners. Because the Jewish people, this is the bracha period of Arivia, the bracha of generations. So the fulfillment is fulfilled with the generations, but the Jewish people have it over the other nations. The other nations, in a sense, they can only identify with their ancestors up to a certain point. The Jewish people identify with Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov eternally. So that's the bracha of Kel Shakai. Now, so, and this is the idea. What is the idea? Meshadet Marchei Teva. In other words, the idea is that when it comes to the everything is within Teva. Even the miracles are within Teva, within nature. Most of the miracles are within nature. But when it comes to the Jewish person, when it comes to human beings, the Baal Tanya would have said a Jewish person. Okay, but when it comes to human beings, nature is manipulated on behalf of the human beings. God, that's Hashgacha Pratis. There is individual supervision on human beings. By animals, nature just takes its natural course by itself, without much interference with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an individual level. So that's why it's Meshadet Marchei HaTeva, that the Jewish people of the future generations, when the God committed himself that the God's supervision over the Jewish people, and every human being has supervision, but he committed himself that supervision that he gives for all future generations will be one that will give the Jewish people Eretz Yisrael. Then there's a third explanation, Meshadet Marchei. And this works out very good according to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said Meshadet, he doesn't say to break, he says to steal. To steal from Teva. To steal from nature. I pointed out, the Rambam says that with the possible exception of Matan Torah, all the miracles are programmed into nature. And the question is, why do we daven? Why do we daven if everything is programmed in? Everything goes automatically. Today you go on a visit, your lights go on and off at the right at the particular time. According to the Rambam, it seems that's the way the miracles took place. I mentioned them. They said to my uncle, I don't know that he meant it literally. He might have said it as a joke. So they talked about Kriyas Yamsuf. Said, what was the miracle Kriyas Yamsuf according to the Rambam? So my uncle says, the miracle was that the Jews got to the Yamsuf at the right time. So now, okay. But in any case, what does it mean? What it means is God made nature in such a way. Today they write all kinds of papers explaining how certain miracles happened. Of course they can't explain it fully. But in theory, it could be that all miracles are within nature. God created nature that he could perform the miracles within nature. You need certain will, let's say for Kriyas Yamsuf, you need a bunch of winds to come at the same time, all kinds of things, maybe the earth has to have an earthquake, whatever it is, all these things coming together. Who brings it together? It's God. So on one hand, it's nature. But but on the other hand, so that's the idea of stealing from nature. God steal, it's within nature, but it's not the normal form of nature. That's the idea of stealing within nature. So God said, I appeared to the Avos, I told them that I will do miracles for their children in the future generations within nature, even though it's not formally part of, even though it's not the normal way of nature. That's the idea of stealing from nature. Okay, then just one other thing. I just wanted to suggest one other pshat that's not based on Rashi. This is the pshat I told my son. It's based on the Rambam. All Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. All Rishonim, when I say Rishonim, I'm talking mainly of those that were involved in Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, so those, the scholars of Jewish mysticism, believe, we talk about the Ein Sof of God, the infinite of God, and then we talk about Oros, rays of light, emanations of God. So in Kabbalah, they say none of the names of God, including Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, applies to the infiniteness of God, only to the emanations from God. Why? Because name is indicative of a certain familiarity, is indicative of a familiarity, and we have no sense of familiarity with the infinite of God, only with the emanations of God. So they say, the Bali Kabbalah say none of the names are really names of God. They're all just descriptives, including the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's all descriptives of God. However, the Rambam Sheet opinion is that the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that is the name of God. The other words, Elohim and all that, those are descriptives of God. They represent descriptives of God. Now, when someone has a close relationship with somebody, he calls them by their name. We talk about being first name basis. When I was taking sociology in college, they talked about primary relationships as secondary relationships. Primary relationships are the people in your family, your close friends. Secondary relationships, those are the people at the office, your customers, or whatever it is. He said, in other words, the names, at least in the old days, names were used when you, in primary relationships. Otherwise, you say the policeman. You describe who it is, the fireman. You don't say Joe, you say the fireman. the policeman. This is how the Rambam explains the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That is God's name. The other names of God, Kel Shakai and all that, that's just descriptives, as we saw. That's just descriptives of God's name. This is the Rambam's opinion. I said, this is what I told my son when I explained the Pasuk. I said, when God spoke to Moshe, he said, with you I'm much closer. That's indicative of the name. No, Dati, I established the type of relationship that people use when they call them by the names, primary relationships with the Avos. And the Avos, in a sense, Avraham, observed the world. God didn't just appear to Avram. God didn't just appear to Avram. Avram looked at the world, and he came to recognize that there had to be a God. But to Moshe, God appeared. God appeared. That's indicative of a relationship. So what I suggested at that time is to Moshe, to you, I revealed myself, my name, meaning on that we have a special relationship. Relationships that are reserved for people who call their friends, their associates, by their name. To the Avos, it wasn't that close. It was in the form of descriptives. They came to recognize me in the world. It's not that I appeared to them initially. So that was what God's response to Moshe was. Okay, we'll leave it there.
Daniel, you need it?
Sure. Can we please collect the chumashim?
We'll dive in about 3 minutes.
Throw the garbage away.
And there will be class next week.
Yeah, I won't be in.